Hello. Oh.
This is embarrassing. Here we go.
No, it's okay. It's all good.
Oh. Hello. Welcome to Training for Training Time. My name is Brian. This is...
I'm Jasper. Hi, Brian.
And this is...
Hey, I'm Bailey.
And we're coming to you from CITR 101.9 FM on UBC's Vancouver campus, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam people.
The mic stands are kind of floppy here. They tend to have a mind of their own.
Can I test one? About that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this, do I go here? Can I like, does this work?
That works fine too, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Brian, we were interrupting.
No, that's proceed. Totally okay. Yeah. So what you just heard is a song called Distortion by a band called Broadcast. They're out of Birmingham, England. And the reason I kicked off the show today with such a hectic tune was, I've been reading this book by David Byrne. It's called How Music Works. Great book. And his main thesis is that like the creative process, especially for musicians, isn't necessarily as creative as we would like to believe. In that sense, it's like a lot of the environments are going to be shaping the music and how the musicians approach their stuff. So today I've curated a bunch of songs from different artists with like drastically different backgrounds. And we're just going to be examining and talking about how their like different architectures that surrounded them have drastically changed their music. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Beautiful.
It's an excellent book. Bailey, have you ever read this book?
No, I never even heard of it.
It's a great book. It's orange. Do you know The Talking Heads?
Yes.
Yeah, David Byrne's the main dude from The Talking Heads.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I have a copy of it in my office if you wanted to borrow it. I mean, I know you've got a lot going on already, but...
Flip through.
Great book. Yeah, I mean, the first section's about, like, venues and stuff, right? Like,
yeah, it just entirely talks about venues, and, like, he makes a link between, like, bluegrass and punk music.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anywho, so just to talk about Broadcast for a little bit. So Broadcast is a duo of Trish Keenan and James Cargill, who are both from Birmingham, and they have, you know, pretty difficult backgrounds, I guess. Trish Keenan is the daughter of a prostitute and was working from like the age of 12 in like the catering industry until she was 21. Hmm. But regardless, they really utilized like, I'm going to describe it as like the English grunge to their advantage.
Hmm.
They would record drums in decrepit neighborhood churches that were over like no longer used. They would record their vocals with cardboard boxes over their head.
That's cool.
Yeah. So what we just heard was Distortion, which was again recorded in a church. That's how they get that really crazy reverb drum sound. It almost sounds like a synth. And next up, I got a song called Hawk, just to like show the difference between other Broadcast songs. So here we go. So you just heard a band called Clinic out of England again. I got a thing for indie grunge England music, apparently. But I just wanted to say really quickly in regards to architecture and spaces, Clinic is a really interesting band because they started out of the storage space of the bingo hall the main singer was working out of. He was just a janitor at a bingo hall and converted his janitorial space into a recording studio.
And that's cool.
Yeah. And Clinic is like they're known for using all instruments that they got from flea markets. They'd wear like surgical masks on stage while they performed. And like a lot of like found sounds, found objects converted and like repurposed into music.
Very cool. Are they like contemporary or are they still playing?
Yeah. So they were like biggest around like the late 80s going into the 90s. And then they kind of died off for a while. But I recently saw an ad that Clinic was playing again. And I think it's because there's been kind of this like cult resurgence in Clinic because of all those, it's kind of culty things they're doing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anywho, so we're going to go take an ad break really quickly. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, Anthasiaklia, Talit, Sin, Homasque, Mustayo. CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaki.com, GUAYAKI.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Hey, it's Dust Quain. I'm inviting you to grab tickets for my album release show on October 13th at the iconic Lido. To celebrate the release of my debut album, Arcana, I assembled my band, The River Children. I'll be bringing you the iconic so-so drag you've come to expect from me, but with some incredible new music. It'll be like a gay Counting Crows concert, one not to be missed. For the occasion, I've invited T. Fanny and Twin Walker to be my guests. This show is going to be historic. I'll be stepping out to lead this band in drag. Join us Thursday, October 13th at the Lido in Vancouver. Get your tickets at dustquain.ca.
Welcome back to Training for Training Time with Brian, Jasper, and Bailey. I'm your host, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
What's up, hey. Brian? Yeah, we're doing a double training time, training for training time.
Yep.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Brian.
Hey, of course, anytime.
You're going to be hosting training time soon.
I will be. Hopefully by next Monday, I'll be feeling confident and ready.
Yeah, so if everyone wants to spend time with Brian in Studio A learning about radio, head to CITR.ca. So what are we talking about, Brian?
So we've been talking about the effect that environments and spaces have on like the creation of music. So the last song we were listening to by Clinic was made in a storage space. Mm. The song before that was made in an abandoned church. We got a whole lot of things on deck. You guys want to say anything about like space and like how that's affected you in your life?
I mean, how much time do we have? I could talk about that all day. Yeah, it's a good subject. Bailey, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the relationship between environments and making music?
I guess when I lived with my family, my piano, we had like piano room, out of tune old piano, and my dad would always be watching like sports on the TV. And so any like recording I have from like that era of my life, there's always like a football game in the background of like whatever song I was like
That's awesome.
Trying to record.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that was the like ambient background vibe. Now I like to play on like my little TV, like outdoor sounds in the background if I'm like recording a song. But that's like, that's a space I'm usually in. It's like a sport game or something in the background.
Was it like, was it frustrating for you as a kid?
Yeah. And then sometimes they'd be like, can you stop playing? And then I'm like, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it the same?
No, I had the same struggle growing up. Like, grew up in a house with really thin walls. A lot of, you know, a lot of people in one house.
Yeah.
Just like, no no sonic privacy.
Yeah. I think I have one with like the dishes being done in the background.
That's kind of a nice sound.
That's just
like the tinkle of china.
Yeah.
Same experience for you, Brian? Like, you know, as a
So like growing up, I lived in a pretty large house that had a lot of sonic insulation. So I was like a very loud kid, you know.
Cool.
Like and I didn't really realize that that was like out of place or out of pocket until I came to university and started living with other people.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd be, like, playing guitar at, like, 2 in the morning to, like, very angry roommates, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was that guy. Anyway, so now I kind of, I flipped. I play really, really quiet.
Yeah.
Just my fingers. I whisper a lot. And it's changed my songwriting pretty drastically. My vocal melodies are written as if they're whispered. And then I take them to, like, different environments after that.
Right.
Does that, like, does that change the way, like, if you're, like, singing into a mic? Like, do you need a mic, do you feel like, to perform? Because I know some people, like, I feel like if I was, like, singing, I would need a mic. Like, I can't just sing something because it's, like, too quiet.
Well, you know, I'm actually happy that we're talking about this because the next song I have queued up is an artist that rarely uses a microphone when he performs. And he usually just goes straight.
Wow.
Yeah, his name's Dave Van Ronk, and he does a lot of, like, mainly acoustic performances. Yeah, he just belts and like really sings as loud as he can. And he grew up in Greenwich Village, New York, performing on the streets. So his voice kind of like was adapted to the city environment to be able to cut through all that muck.
I could never.
Yeah, as far as like when I perform, I hate using a microphone personally. I love just screaming and just like being able to like, I find microphones kind of a hindrance. But that's just because I'm bad at singing. You know, like, I can't do the dynamic control.
Okay.
Your show was great. I was vibing.
Oh,
the show you did.
Thank you.
I'm like you, Bailey. Like I can't be heard without a microphone.
Yeah.
So I love singing into microphones because I just need them. So I've come to love them.
Yeah. I mean, like, an interesting thing that David Byrne talks about is bossa nova. Mm-hmm. Like, bossa nova could have never happened unless the microphone, you know, was in existence.
Because it's so quiet.
Yeah, Zhao was just, he's just whispering.
Zhao is, yeah.
Yeah. And there's like a whole band behind him. Like, that's impossible.
That's a great point. Yeah, Well, I mean, it kind of goes for lots of different kinds of music, right? Like, the sort of technology has made music possible, various forms of music possible. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, the saxophone MIDI, though, is getting pretty good. It's like, they might not need us anymore.
I had fake sax on my last record.
No.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
and it's actually like some of my favorite moments. It's like this so obvious, like it was Mellotron saxophone.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it was tasteful fake sax.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, speaking of all of that, here's a song for a guy that doesn't even need a microphone. So.
Right. The guy
here we
with
go.
The who what's his name again?
Dave Van Ronk.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell old Bill when he come home this morning. Tell old Bill when he come home this evening. Tell old Bill when he come home, you better leave them downtown girls alone. Evening so soon.
till about 8:30 this morning. Been left here about 8:30 this evening. Been left here about 8:30. Well, he left here by the old front gate this morning, this evening, so soon. Sal was home, she was baking bread this morning. Sal was home, she was a baking bread this evening. Oh, Sal was home, she was baking bread, and when she heard the news, Bill was dead this morning, this evening, so soon. She said, oh no, that can't be so, this morning. Oh no, that can't be so, this evening. Well, oh no, that can't be so, my dear, left here about an hour ago this morning, this evening, so soon. Oh, well, they brought Bill home in the hurry-up wagon this morning. Brought Bill home in the hurry-up wagon this evening. They brought Bill home in the hurry-up wagon. Well, it's poor old Bill, how his toes was dragging this morning, this evening, so soon. Well, it's tell old Bill when he come home morning. Tell old Bill when he come home this evening. Tell old Bill when he come home, you better lead him downtown. Girls all home this morning, this evening, so soon.
Hey, Mr. Policeman, please don't take my stuff. It costs me too much money and it probably ain't enough to get me through election day. Didn't I hear you say, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Every Friday at noon, CITR takes you on a journey through Thunderbird Radio Land. A journey of sound and song, of words and music, of the now and then, of the right here and the far away. It's the Eclectic Lunch, every Friday at 12 noon on Thunderbird Radio, 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver.
Welcome back to Training for Training Time. My name is Brian, and I'm here with...
Jasper!
And we are broadcasting to you from CITR 101.9 FM on the unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Musqueam people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here at UBC.
Beautiful day in beautiful British Columbia.
So what did we just... What was that music? I was really enjoying that last set.
Oh, yeah. So that last bit was kind of like the folk bit of the set.
Yeah.
Where I was taking a look at a bunch of artists that have spent a lot of time alone.
Oh, great. That's funny.
Yeah, so like Dave Van Ronk and Blaze Foley, and as well as John Fahey, they're three guitar players that are like largely part of the blues idiom. And they do self-accompanied music.
Right.
So you can just imagine. They got to spend a lot of time alone in an apartment room making sure that these parts are really figured out, dialed in. Mm. But yeah, so we started off with Dave Van Ronk, who he has a freight train of a voice, and he got his start playing in the streets of Greenwich Village down in New York. And it really shines through in a lot of his music, considering that the vocal dynamics just cut through everything. And then you want to say anything?
Or? No, I was just going to agree. He had a big voice, big, powerful voice. Yeah.
And then we moved on to someone who's a little bit different. His name is Blaze Foley. Grew up in San Antonio, Texas. And that song was called Election Day.
I love Blaze. I have a soft spot for Blaze.
He's great.
That one song he's got was like, I love cheeseburgers and eating fries, you know.
Oh, my goodness. So over the summer, I listened to that song every single day.
That song?
Yeah, that song specifically was how I woke up. I was like,
oh, my God, that's funny. What's that song called?
Cheeseburgers and good French fries.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's a simple man, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, that's like the core of folk music too, right? It's just like singing about what he loves, what he knows.
You know? Yep.
I feel like I saw like a movie about Blaze Foley or something. I think there's been a movie made about him.
Totally. If I remember correctly, he kind of has like a tragic death, right?
My memory of it, my impression of it, is that Blaze Foley did, you know, he had bad habits and didn't live particularly healthily. And I don't know if Blaze Foley had a happy ending. I don't think he did.
No, I do not. Yeah.
No. But made great music while he was with us.
Made a lot of great music. While I was doing research for the show, I actually found out that... So he like tried to record an album like multiple times.
Okay.
But the very first time, the second time, and the third time that he tried to record and release an album, his mastering tapes were taken by the DEA for drug busts at his home.
You're kidding.
Three times. Three times. So like Blaze Foley's work is like, I mean, it's like there's so much more of it that just kind of has been lost.
That's so tragic, right?
Yeah.
By the DEA. So that means ostensibly it still exists, like
in some
evidence locker room.
In some kind of condition, just like...
In Texas? Yeah. that's, I mean, back then, it's like you had your tapes and, you know, it's not like you can't back them up.
Yeah.
I know. Different time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, upsides to hard copies, but that is definitely the downfall. It's like, wow. You lose it, it's done.
I just can't believe it happened three times.
That's absurd. Right. I read that and was like, whoa.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then the last song that we listened to was an instrumental by guitarist John Fahey. Hmm. It's called Requiem for John Hurt. So it's just like an ode to Little Mississippi John Hurt, and it's on an album of, what does he call them? It's like Death Chants, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Death Chants and Requiem.
Who is John Hurt?
Little Mississippi John Hurt. He's an old blues guitar player who is like really famous for doing intricate self-accompanied blues licks while singing.
Okay.
And like a lot of modern rock music has taken Mississippi John Hurt's like song ideas, song structures, as well as licks, and have like adapted them to the electric guitar.
Okay. So if I'm understanding correctly, a lot of John Hurt's like licks and moves have sort of become staples.
They've survived and have become, yeah.
Like blues guitarists?
You could call them the blues canon.
They're blues canon.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Interesting. I don't fancy myself a blues player, so I don't like know a lot about the blues, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like a chord person. I just play.
I never really like picked up the blues. I like growing up, I was in a prog band, so like I thought the blues was like really lame, you know. I would like my friends' dad's blues bands playing,
totally.
And just be like, oh god.
Well,
but honestly,
yeah,
like blues is awesome. It's so awesome. I revisited it like 2 years ago because I lived with a jazz student who only played blues, and yeah, it was great. Wonderful year.
Yeah, cool. Guitarist.
Guitarist. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It's nice to live with a good musician, like that you enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
The alternative is kind of unbearable.
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know?
They had to live with me, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Anywho,
No, I was going to say, yeah, so we've got, what do we got coming down the pipe?
Okay, so coming down the pipe to close the show off, we got two songs by Alex G.
Oh, cool.
So if you remember, our theme is about like environments.
Yeah.
Alex G is an interesting artist, and he's got a soft spot in my heart. He's from Philadelphia. I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. My first house show was an Alex G show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was this like before Alex G was kind of like a big deal? Or?
Yeah, it was like 2014,
I want to say. Oh, yeah, a while ago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was 14, should not have been at a house show, but it was like
that's what house shows are for, though.
Right? Looking back at that, like if a 14-year-old came to any of my house shows, I'd be very frustrated.
I want to hear about the house show. Tell me about it. Oh, sorry. Ow. I just banged my knee on the desk.
Yeah, it was at the University of Delaware.
Okay.
And like UD's got a bunch of these really bad living conditions, you know, like houses, like cheap houses. Anyway, so like students will like get a huge house and then just like throw these ridiculous parties. And over the years, it's become like the party capital of like U.S. universities, really randomly.
No
but
way.
Regardless, yeah, like during like the early 2010s, there was surprisingly like that environment was very open to lots of like live music. So a lot of like indie artists just like would come through from like all around the area, and there was like lots of diverse things going on. I could always like just like sneak in. I'd like go down to UD. My brother was going at the time, and then I just like sneak in and like hang out.
Cool.
Yeah, Alex G is a very awkward person in person.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he's soft-spoken, very polite.
Do you think he spends a lot of time alone?
I'm going to go ahead and say probably, but you know, I'm not Alex G, so I don't know. Don't come at me, Alex G.
Cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Early house show of Alex G.
Yeah, there's this like one part where he screamed, and I was like, whoa, I've never seen anything like that.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of scream are we talking? Like
just like the most vile, you know,
like
ear
curdling
scream, just like they're playing All Quiet, and then like this next part for like one bar, he just like screams and then like goes back to quiet, real controlled.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Stuck with you though, hey?
Yeah, it did. It's the song called Animals, if anybody knows it. Anyway, we're starting off with a song called TV, and it's off Alex G's first album called Race. And it's kind of like a by any means necessary recording technique, kind of like what I feel. And it's sort of what I attach to, I guess, like house shows and like the DIY indie movement. Like more so than bedroom pop. Like, it's not perfect. It's, yeah, really rough around the edges, but, like, there's a great song that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love listening to this track. I think it's really warm.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And then after that, we got another Alex G song, so we can, you know, do, like, a cross-comparison analysis from his last album, God Save the Animals, called Blessing. And by this point in his career, he's now, like, opened up to using professional studio equipment and professional studios. But he still takes those elements of, like, Alex G songwriting and, like, Alex G-isms into that environment. And it's, like, really cool to see how it's, like, you know, fully matured.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So here we go.
I get feelings from the TV. They can't hurt me. They don't know me. I saw Daddy in a movie. He's on big screen. He don't know me. He gets lonely. He forgets me. And he bought us a TV. 'Cause he don't come around anymore. And we don't see you. And I don't know what it's for.
Welcome back to Training for Training Time. My name is Brian, and this is...
I'm Jasper.
And we're just here to sign off. Thank you for joining us for the past hour and listening to me fumble around the board.
So what Training Time is all about.
Yeah, no, it's all about fumbling. We're going to give you guys a rough experience. Keep you on your toes.
It's been fun, Brian. It's been good. I like the songs you picked.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Some good songs. We were saying off mic, I was saying to Brian, I like that early Alex G way more than the late Alex G.
Yeah. It's do you want to explain more?
Well, it just sounded like completely different artists to me.
Yeah, they're entirely different tracks.
Yeah,
and it's funny how like the space that like you create something like just so drastically changes like the outcome.
Yeah, it's easy.
And you know, I mean, like I think an important thing to like take away from all of this is like progress in music. Like it doesn't really exist. There's just like differences.
Hmm. Interesting. I semi agree with you, Brian.
I feel a debate coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think progress exists, but I guess maybe what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. is that like the idea that something is better than something else is just kind of a false premise.
Yeah, not exactly. I guess I can like make it more precise. Like,
okay.
Like something is good if it's well adapted for its environment.
Something is good. That's like a very utilitarian sort of
right. Yeah,
yeah. That's like it's like an engineering kind of thing. It's like
hey, raised by engineers. Let me tell you.
Yeah, something is good if it. Say that again.
If it's adapted for its environment.
Something is good. Oh, there's too much to unpack here. Like, what do we mean by good?
Okay, so like good? You liked that like first Alex G track better than the second one, right?
I preferred it. Yeah.
So then like under that argument, we'd say that like Alex G's songwriting is like more adapted to the environment of like a home studio.
Okay. The only way to test this would be to have Alex G re-record that first song.
Oh, yes.
In like the same studio. We need a control. Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's how that's how you use science to figure out which song is better.
But you know, everything is subjective and nothing has meaning, so you know, like what you like.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's kind of what I thought you were getting at. Yeah. So
is there anything we got to do to sign off officially on here?
Well, hey, thanks for listening to Training for Training Time with Brian and me. You're going to hear a lot more Brian on the airwaves soon.
Sweet.
And stay tuned for On the Point's election coverage. We have an exclusive interview coming up next.
Very cool.
What is this?